Raj, welcome to Everyday Morning Matters. It comes on the radio every Wednesday, as you know, from 7:30 to 8 o'clock. Apologies, we're running a little late right now. Ogodre, how are you doing this morning? How are you doing?
Great. Oh my God, I'm so sorry, Lagos. I'm late today. But I kind of love this show, so better late than never.
Exactly. That's the spirit, of course. And it's, you know, traffic can be crazy sometimes. But a quick disclaimer, just so you know, EMM is a financial literacy program, and as such, answers to questions should not be taken as financial advice, but merely the opinions of our guest. Opinion of our one and only guest, actually. So kindly consult your financial advisor for your personal and business financial related issues. All right. Today, I think we should just treat questions, the Q&A from the past week.
Let's do that. Because, I mean, the important questions that we didn't answer last week, so...
You would let me know which is important.
Anyone, just take them randomly. Trust me, you're supposed to answer everything.
All right. So, number one, this comes from... I don't know your name. He's saying, good day, Ugo. Please, with 80,000 naira, I have an option of renting a shop or an apartment slash room. Which one is advisable for a single guy who is thinking of getting himself established? Wow. 80K.
A shop or an apartment?
Yeah.
Oh, that doesn't look like too much of a problem. I mean, where do you stay now? I mean, like, if you're staying somewhere, like, most important thing for any human being is where to put your head, like, where to rest. Like, you know, you need to have a house where you can live. So if you have somewhere that you can lay your head, you've got shelter, and it's kind of comfortable, you're not under pressure, then please just go ahead and rent a shop, because that's business you're going to do with your money. Okay.
But what if he doesn't have a place to stay?
So if you don't have a place to stay and you're under pressure, I mean, that's the most important thing. You got to be able to be somewhere.
Yeah.
You have to have shelter so that you can even think and you can even be productive. There are some guys who know how to do both, where you probably, you know, have this kind of shop and you also sleep there. And then after some time, you know, leave and get somewhere else when you must have made some money. So it depends on the kind of shop that you get. But 80K, I doubt it's going to be a very comfortable shop. And even an 80K rent, I don't know where you're going to see 80K rent in Lagos, except maybe like really, really, really outskirts of Lagos. I mean, you're probably sharing with people.
You'll be shocked. You'll be shocked.
For real?
Yeah, you will.
Okay. All right. Probably somewhere. I mean, but also, if you're going to be getting an 80K shop, you're probably going to get, you know, decent 80K shops in Lagos. I'm pretty sure of that. Mostly lock-up shops, you're going to see them. Just make sure it's somewhere where you have
Containers traffic and stuff.
Yeah, exactly. And you have customers coming in and all of that.
Yeah.
You know, and then, yeah. So like I said, if you don't have shelter, you need to get a shelter first. Get somewhere that you can leave, you can stay in, and then you can always go out. I understand that you need to make money for you to even pay the next rent. But it's important to be somewhere first, because, you know, the mental awareness, mindset, and all that is very key to... you know, to making more money, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Peace of mind is absolutely key.
Peace of mind is important.
All right, so the next question. Hello, compliments. So I need some advice. For a food business that's just starting, is it advisable to invest in a retail store at the early stage? That's coming from Joseph, by the way.
Is it advisable to invest in a retail store at the early stage? For a food business?
Yeah.
I would say no, because, I mean... for food business, it's not necessarily how good your store looks, right? People actually want to come and eat, if that's the kind of food you mean, right?
So, no, because he didn't specify if it's raw food.
Yeah, so but if it's, you said for a food business.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm thinking, okay, so let's just split it
food.
So that doesn't mean you want to be cooking.
He didn't say food stuff.
So yeah, so you want to be cooking for people and stuff. So people are more interested in how your food tastes, right? Rather than, you
someone
know,
like me. From.
Exactly. People like they just, your food just has to taste nice.
Yeah.
So it's not about the ambience or the store. And all. They just want to be sure that this food is sweeter. So make sure that you've got, you know, their taste buds excited first, so you can start cooking from home, maybe, you know, deliver to some offices, have some people deliver, you can even put it on Instagram and things like that, and get people to start to eat your food first, and when you have positive feedback and that they like your food is really nice, we can do, can I get more, and then you start to see traction.
Yeah.
You can even start with family and all, and then you start to see traction, and then it's okay. I was reading of something somewhere, it was a story of, I think it was Burger King.
Oh.
story of Burger King in the US. 50s or 60s or so.
Okay.
So one of the guys that franchised the very first Burger King, right?
Mm-hmm.
So his business wasn't doing well, right? He wasn't doing well at all. So, and then he went somewhere to another city in Miami or something. And then he just saw a lot of people queuing up.
At another Burger King?
No one. I just like a very roadside, you know, shop. And they were eating, you know, like they were just queuing. So he went and just squeezed and just went. I just saw them eating sandwich and all. And just, they were just queuing up for it. And they always wanted more. So he kind of asked, like, why are you guys?
Yeah.
So he asked the people, like, why are you guys all here? Because, like, this guy makes the best sandwich in town.
Mm.
So he ordered some and
a trial convinced
now
him.
Went back to his own side and then ate it, and it was like, he was blown away, like, what? And then he called his partner, was like, can you taste this? And the partner tastes it and is like, where did you get this from? It's like, roadside. And the guy's like, and we have this beautiful place, nobody even comes in here,
no one cares,
it's always empty, we're losing money. And so that was like an epiphany for them, and then they changed their menu, and that's, you know, they actually introduced double decker burgers and things like that.
Nice.
Back then, that was basically the inspiration behind it.
Nice.
Yeah, and then they had all those things, and really they have double decker burgers, and then that reduced their price, people started tripping, and then they were in business again. So like I said, it's usually the taste of the food, mm-hmm. not necessarily what it looks like. So I want to say to you, man, just, you know, focus on making sure your food is sweet. Like, have the right ingredients. Have mm-hmm. I don't know how to cook.
The right spices.
Make sure you have the right menu and stuff. Nigerians love food. I mean, like, you kind of,
I
like,
love
you
food.
Can see you love food. Already.
I love food. All right, another question. This is coming from Aku. Aku is saying, morning, if I'm trying to get a certificate in incorporation from the CAC, is it best I go through a lawyer?
Yes. Even though these days they tell you can do it online, just go online, register, you don't need anybody, call and blah blah blah, and then you're gonna have what you need. But I think that it's best to go through a lawyer.
Right.
Yes, the CAC has improved over the last couple of years, in terms of, you know, getting a certificate, registering a company.
Mm-hmm.
They've made it a bit easier, but nevertheless, you still need lawyers to help you with a lot of those documentation and paperwork and all of that. So lawyers can be a little expensive, but I think it's kind of worth it though. Mm. Right. So it's your company you're starting. So if you're starting, you know, limited liability company,
mm-hmm.
and you're trying to get a lawyer, you should be budgeting around 60,000-70,000 naira.
Mm.
Yeah, for that.
To pay a lawyer?
No, for everything.
For everything.
Right, 70. More expensive lawyers can take everything, to take your cost of registration to about 100,000. Or 120,000. It all depends on the kind of lawyer. But by and large, in worst case, you can get it for 70, 60. If it's a lawyer in Abuja, might be slightly cheaper. Because
really?
They're there. Yeah, because they don't have to run around too
much.
There
are a lot of them.
So the thing with lawyers in Lagos is that when you get a lawyer in Lagos, you probably need to call another lawyer in Abuja.
Oh,
and then okay. they kind of like split the money, and lawyer in Abuja does it. So it can be slightly more expensive
okay.
than if it's a lawyer in Abuja.
In Abuja.
You know, but you'd always want to give it to a lawyer that you trust, someone that at least you're sure understands you. And then before you also register, try as much as possible to let them know what your business is about, what you're trying to do, so that they can even offer you, like, you know what, you don't need to register a limited liability, just do one small enterprise business and blah, blah, blah,
mm-hmm.
so that you don't have to start to incur a lot of money. So it's always good to tell your lawyer what kind of business you want to do and your outlook for your business.
Yeah.
And if it's something that you want to have partners with in future and stuff like that. Because the reason why you do a limited liability company is because you want to have shares. And then you're looking at maybe having partners or investors at some point in future. So if you don't have any of that, then, I mean, just blank.
All right. This is another one saying, please, what are the prospects for someone who studies statistics, all right, in the Nigerian labor markets?
Oh, so data analysts are actually, you know, I think they're in high demand.
Are they?
Yeah. It's a niche career. And a lot of data analysts that I know have ended up in banks.
Okay.
They've ended up in research units of you know, FMCGs, oil and gas companies. So you see, the thing with being a, you know, statistics graduate is that you don't really practice the kind of statistics that you did when you were back in school. So it's more of research. So you're trying to apply the knowledge you acquired in school
mm-hmm.
for, you know, research in different industries. So you can be in the oil and gas industry and you're applying your statistical knowledge to data, you know, from the oil and gas industry. So that's basically, so you're not going to be doing all that deviation, blah, 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 that you were doing in school and all that. So pure research. And then a lot of them also end up being, you know, they're pivoting a bit into maybe accounting or even financial analyst, and because they basically have like the fundamental, the background, you know, knowledge. So it's a good career. I think that you can get jobs, especially now that data is huge. I mean, data is a lot of money these days. So there's this thing they talk about, big data in the world. So the people who they need
it's
to
in
do
demand.
This. Yeah, it's in demand in a way. So, but you gotta have a lot of passion for it, because it's some kind of skill. It's like being able to code. So you gotta have passion for it. You need to have that skill. So it's not just going to school and saying,
I like
statistics.
Coding.
You don't like coding. No. Well, in my generation, there wasn't coding like that. But not like I'm too old, though. But you gotta be able to apply your status, you know, that knowledge very well. So read, research a lot, understand what it means, what data is. And the beautiful thing about data is that you gotta be able to interpret data very well. So your interpretation of data and how you talk about it and how you write about it is actually what makes you different, like what puts you apart. So it's a good job. I think you should go for it.
I have one last question. I'm sorry. Just have to squeeze this in. Good morning. Please, I want to run a successful fashion and hairstyling business. Is it necessary to run a professional course in management?
I think so. Mm-hmm. I think you should. Not like you need to. So it's not like it's important. It's not like it's a condition to start in, you know, a fashion business. But if you're looking to own a business that it's, you know, going to be self-sustaining, that's going to be run with some kind of structure, that's going to be run professionally, then if you can afford, you know, professional management course, I mean, come on, by all means, just do it. Because there's a whole lot you learn, and a lot of the mistakes that you typically make before you start a business, you avoid making them because you probably learned something different. Yeah, and then it's a huge networking opportunity as well for you. So you should do
that's
it.
That's true. All right. Thank you.
So we got five questions.
We got five questions.
These guys are here. I was trying to avoid
them.
They're
trying to kick you out.
Yeah, I'm trying to avoid them as well. It's not been a good time for me in sports.
It's all good. They're always trying to bully us into leaving the studio. But it's all good. Jimmy Disu would knock them out later on in the day. Thank you so much for coming by today. And hopefully next week you come early.
Yeah, see you, Lagos. See you guys next week. Bye.
Bye.